Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that that we are able to gather here today. That we live in such a wonderful place that even with the challenges that we face, there's still no other place that I would rather be. There is more opportunity, more freedom here than anywhere else in the world, and more freedom to worship you as we please than anywhere else in the world. And so we thank you for that. And we ask that you open our hearts to trust in you during this time, and to hear from your word, to know that you are in fact the sovereign Lord, that there's no one above you. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are privileged to stand here or sit here and worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yep, 2020 has been quite a year. From the COVID virus to the economic upheaval to the election, everything seems to be in an uproar. And although from the time that I originally wrote down my notes to today, there seems to be a little bit more certainty on the subject, we still don't really know for sure who our president is going to be, because our electors haven't voted yet, and there are still challenges going on. And so we're still in this limbo. And so many people, whichever of the two major parties that you're part of, feel like if their candidate loses, the world's going to come to an end. Everything we know is just going to be over. And it seems to me anyway, I've said it before, it seems to me anyway that we as a country are as divided as we've ever been, perhaps since the Civil War. And when have we, I know we've been through some tough times in the past, but when have we ever worried and boarded up our businesses worried about riots based on the outcome of an election until now? We've got local businesses here that have done that. How long are they going to stay that way now? You have to wonder. I don't know. I don't see out the windows what's going on. But this draws out, and we knew it was going to draw out. We knew it was going to be that way because of all of the irregularities just in the way that the votes were counted this year. And you know, for some of us are really anxious about it all. And I confess, I just had to turn it off this week. This message is as much for me as anybody, because I told Linda yesterday, you know what? I know the truth. I'm even going to preach it, but I really don't want to hear about it right now. I don't want to talk about it. I'm doing all I can just keep my head on straight. Or maybe, maybe somebody that's hearing me today, or one of those who really don't care, you figure life is going to go on pretty much as it has. All the politicians are corrupt anyway. My vote, you know, that doesn't matter. And, well, I guess my answer to that was, if it doesn't matter, then why's all the fuss? If it doesn't matter, then you know why have the show? It does matter.
Amen.
Why care? And I think everybody here knows this. It's in your best interest to care, because it does affect your life.
Amen.
And especially now, we all kind of have some sense of that, maybe at the national level, but also at the local level, we ought to be paying attention. Because those are the things that are really most likely to affect your daily life, what your state governments are doing, what your city council is doing. Those things can have just ask the people that have had their churches closed down because of this COVID thing. when we have a responsibility before God, we've been given this wonderful gift, and it's being good steward, a good steward, another one of those Bible words, but it's managing well, put it a different way, what we've been given to take care and to participate in the system that we've been given. But then we also have to take care. We have to take care not to be overwhelmed and not to start to think that life depends on what's happening in the political arena. We've only got one king as followers of Jesus. We only got one king. His name is Jesus.
Amen. Thank the Lord, yes.
We've only got one Savior. His name is Jesus. And we need to keep our faith in Him and realize that whatever happens, He wins.
Amen.
Our future is secure. Yeah, we may go through some stuff here. I'm one of those that believes we go all the way through the tribulation if we're still here. There's going to be some rough stuff happen, but in the end, He wins, and we reign forever with Him.
Amen.
So take courage. God is still in control.
Amen.
Even if your candidate doesn't win, He can turn evil into good.
Amen.
He can take, or I should say it a different way, because evil is evil and evil is never good. He can take what was meant for evil and use it for good. We see that all the way through the scripture, most notably in the story of Joseph, where Joseph actually says that in Genesis chapter 50. But he's not surprised. We say this on a personal level all the time, but it's true as at a national level too. He's not surprised. He's not dismayed. He's not looking down and going, how in the world am I going to fix this mess? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. He'll clean it up.
Amen.
He'll clean it up in his time, at the right time. But I want to share with you something that I read back when in the 2016 election. I've already shared at least a couple different times that when it came down to the two candidates who ended up running in the primary, I was ready to cry. In my mind, we had a choice between really bad and much worse. And I was just, Lord, how do we do this? And He, I believe, led me to this very simple verse in Proverbs chapter 21. It's our primary verse for today. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. And it simply says, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He wishes. God is still in control.
Amen.
We're told through Paul's letter in Romans chapter 13 that God is the one who established government. And he said that every person is to be subject in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. And he says that it exists to enforce justice in Romans chapter 13, verse 4. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who practices evil.
Amen.
In that same chapter, he also establishes the reason why it is that we pay taxes in verse 6. It says, because of this you also pay taxes, for the rulers are servants of God. Again, rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to these things. Now, think about when Paul was writing this. He is a citizen of Rome. Rome at the time was governed by somebody you might have heard of. His name was Nero. You've heard, if you studied your history, you remember the phrase, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. He was probably one of the worst, if not the worst, emperor that they ever had, and he was pure evil. He used to bind Christians up like candles and light them up in his court and burn them alive in his courtyard.
Oh!
Or feed them to animals while they were still alive.
Oh.
Evil, evil person. How in the world and not only that, the law in Rome was that you were supposed to worship the emperor and treat him like a god. Now, how in the world can Paul write what he's written here when he's living under such an evil government like that? What Paul is doing, first of all, is establishing that God is still in control, that none of this surprising. He knew all this was going to happen. He still got his hand on things. But he's also establishing what the government ought to be. Does character matter? Yes, character matters. Character matters quite a bit. Now, you might wonder, given our choices, and depending on your feelings, you might think, well, how are you going to argue for either one of them? Oh, I can't, if you want me to, but this is not the time or place. But let me just say this, character matters. If you don't think character matters, ask King David. Now, King David was a good king. He was called a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. And yet, he made a mistake. He made a bad mistake. And it would sow the seeds of the destruction of his kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10. Samuel is speaking to him. If you remember the story, what happened is he, instead of going out to war, where he should have been out with his troops, he stayed back at the palace. He's chilling out on the roof. He looks down and sees a woman bathing. Her name is Bathsheba. And he decides that he wants her and gets her pregnant. And then when he finds out that she's pregnant, he arranges for her husband to do it on the front line so he'll be killed. After he tried to... first he tried to get his husband to go sleep with his wife so he'd be covered up that way, but that didn't work. So he had him killed. Pretty bad thing to do. But God, he repented and God forgave him. But even though he repented and God forgave him, he sowed the seeds then of what would eventually happen in his nation. As Samuel speaks to him, I'm sorry, not Samuel, Nathan. Nathan the prophet speaks to him in the book of 2 Samuel. And says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. And then as that does come to pass, you have the rebellion of Absalom, one of his sons, where he almost takes the kingdom away from him. And then in Solomon, when Solomon is to be king, Adonijah, another one of David's sons, tries to usurp at that point. And then you have the story of the census. And I still don't really understand, we've talked about that before, I don't really understand what was going on there, why that was wrong that David took that census. But because of that, a plague came and destroyed thousands of people in the land of Israel. Character matters. If you wonder character matters, ask King Solomon. Now, King Solomon started out really well. You remember the story, you probably learned it in Sunday school, how when God asked him, you can have anything you want, what do you want? And Solomon said, I don't know how to lead this people. I need wisdom. Give me a discerning heart. And so God did that. And he was the wisest and perhaps the richest man that ever lived. He said the silver was worth nothing. Silver was like gravel in the kingdom. But it says in 1 Kings chapter 11 that his heart was turned away by the foreign women that he married. He broke one of the laws that God had given him. He said, don't intermarry with the nations around you, because they'll lead you away. They'll lead you astray. They'll cause you to want to worship other gods. And that's exactly what happened. Now, he thought he was being smart by marrying all these foreign women around. He was forming alliances with these kingdoms and establishing peaceful relationships through marriage. But that's exactly what happened. It says that these women turned his heart away, and Solomon ended up instituting idol worship in the nation of Israel, including the worship of the god Molech, which involves sacrificing little babies. And so the Lord said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11, so the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. And that's exactly what happened. The kingdom ends up divided. One of his servants rebels, and in the time of his Rehoboam, his son, because Rehoboam doesn't act very smart, he ends up splitting up the kingdom. And that's a whole other story we don't have time to get into. But the point is, character matters. You might ask King Manasseh. Manasseh came along many generations later, near the end of the kingdom of Judah. He was the son of Hezekiah, was a very good king. But something got lost there, and Manasseh was the worst king ever. He brought idols right into God's temple, and it says that he shed innocent blood throughout the city of Jerusalem. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we learn that he repented. Manasseh actually repented, but God said, this is too much. What the nation has done at this point is too much. Even though Manasseh repented, he said, judgment is still coming, and I'm going to completely wipe Judah off the map. And Babylon comes in and does that. Even a good king, Josiah, comes along later, and he's one of the best kings that they had, but even the reforms that he made, the good things that he did, couldn't save them. But God will respond to the heart of a faithful leader even when the people are not completely following. That's why character is important. You find some of the kings, as you read through the Old Testament, that were good kings that did what the Lord asked them to do. And he says, yet the people kept on sacrificing in the high places. God told them they were only supposed to sacrifice in one place. You have King Jehoshaphat. It says that he did right, but the people still sacrificed in other places than they were supposed to, and apparently to other gods as well. But because of Jehoshaphat's faithfulness, God spared the nation. We have a while later, you have King Jotham does very much the same thing. Says that he did right, but the people didn't. But it says in 2 Chronicles 27 is where his story is found. that because he did right, he became mighty. God blessed him. God is still in control.
Amen.
The entire Bible story tells us this. Part of the reason for going over these things, all of this had a purpose. Israel fell again and again and again, but when they repented, God picked them back up. But it was all for a purpose. The entire Bible story is the story of Jesus. All of that was eventually to lead to the coming of Jesus. He was in control then. He's in control now. We serve the same God.
Amen.
Don't get anxious. Don't get afraid. He's still in control.
Amen.
People will tend to follow a leader, especially when he promises, when he tells them they can have anything they want. But just because somebody tells us we can have what we want, that may not be what we need.
Amen.
You know, we've just talked about all these kings of Israel, but Israel was never meant to have a king. God was supposed to be their king. They had judges up until the time that they asked for a king. And Samuel was, in fact, very grieved when they asked for the king. But God said, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. That's 1 Samuel chapter 8. And yet, again, it's not like God was surprised by this. He knew that they were going to do that. And he gave them instructions. You'll find them in Deuteronomy chapter 17, where he says, when you do this, when you decide you've got to have a king like everybody else, this is how your king needs to behave. And he even arranged that in the end, when everything was said and done, that they would still be led by him as king. That would be King Jesus of the line of King David.
Amen.
Here we have the ability, the privilege to have some say in who our leaders are going to be. And we're responsible to make godly choices. But our choices will reflect our own character. I believe that it's entirely possible. We've seen the judgment that had fallen on Israel. And there's some reasons why they're so severe. Because Jesus said in one place, to whom much has been given, much will be required. Israel had a special place. They had special attention from God. They should have known better. And so their judgment is harsher. But I have to wonder how much are we in for, because we actually get a say. You know, they didn't get a say. Whoever was king is king. You know, the outgoing king would pick one of his sons, typically the oldest, although not always. And that would be the next king. The people don't have a whole lot of say on it. But we have say. So if we're choosing people that don't have any character, then we bear responsibility for what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Kings are hereditary. Politicians are picked. King does whatever he wants to do. Politicians must at least pay lip service to the people that elect them. Therefore, we bear the consequences of our choices. You think it's gone wrong? Maybe we ought to look in the mirror. So what do we do? Tell you one thing we need to do. It's found, and I put it up on the screen. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We probably all know it well. And my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Amen.
And you notice that starts with an and there. Some will start with if. I went ahead and left it in this version because it highlights something. It highlights the fact that we picked up in the middle of something here. Verse 13 talks about God bringing judgment on the land. And the message there was after Solomon had dedicated the new temple, and it was to Israel, but it also tells us something about who God is. It reveals that God is merciful and faithful and that he responds to the prayers of his people.
Amen.
And we are his people. If we have given ourselves to him and we belong to him, we are his people.
Amen.
And so if we will put away those things that we know are sinful, if we will seek his face, if we will humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we got nothing to be proud of. The only difference between you and me and somebody who doesn't know the Lord is the Lord came in and changed us. What do you think we did? So there's no room for pride. There's only room for humility.
Amen.
And going before the Lord and saying, Lord, heal our land. Forgive our sins. And we have sinned as a nation. But we have, because we are his people, we have good reason to hope that he will respond.
Amen.
That he will bring revival. That he will bring healing. So, what do? We be about his business. First and foremost, always and forever, we preach the truth. We speak the truth. Whether you're in the pulpit or the grocery store, always speak the truth. And stand up for what is good and against what is evil.
That's right. Amen.
And don't be in despair. Don't be deceived. There is only one King.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing on this earth can ever dethrone him. And his plans cannot be thwarted. And he is always good. And we know that in the end, he will prevail.
Amen.
He is coming back.
Amen.
And so, one more thought for the day. I've got one more verse up there on the next screen. It's simply this. Yahweh is for me. I do not fear. What can mere humans do to me? From Psalm 118, verse 6. We don't know what's going to happen. Things may completely explode the next month. We don't know. But we know that God is still on his throne.
Amen.
And we don't need to be anxious and we don't need to be afraid. We just need to be about God's business. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have that assurance.
Amen.
We have that assurance that you are in control. That you remain the ultimate authority. That you have us in your hand. And that we'll be with you. Help us, Lord, to bring as many people as we